Booker with Tucker on him. Throws it up for Ayton. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. What a block from Giannis.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Thursday. We have everything from this just jam-packed Game 4. We finally had a great game in the NBA Finals. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me, Jared Weiss. Jared, where do we begin? What an incredible game.
Can we work our way back from the end, I guess? This game was really, really one of the best finals games we've seen in years. Just because not only was it incredible play, but there were just so many weird elements to this game. I should say one of the best non-elimination games. But I think the thing that stands out the most is just the way that the Bucks just kept stampeding late in this game. And Giannis did not have an amazing scoring game. It was definitely a good scoring game from him, good offensive game from him. But his defense was peak Giannis defense, some of the best defense in the finals that we've gotten in a couple of years. And that alley-oop block that he had on DeAndre Ayton is a play that I don't know if I've ever seen before. I'm sure it's happened a couple times in NBA history, but he is guarding Devin Booker on his drive. Devin Booker throws an alley-oop over his head to not just anybody, but like 7'2" DeAndre Ayton, and Giannis spins and elevates. And, you know, when you watch it in slow-mo, the spin itself is impressive, but it's like you could see a human being doing that. But it's when he just unfurls his body and launches into the air, and it just like it looks like somebody going Super Saiyan, basically. It was unreal. Blocks DeAndre clean, and that was... There were other blocks that happened that were not clean, and we'll get to that in a minute, but that play is going to live on. I really think that one is going to live on, like the LeBron block in Iguodala, the Tayshaun Prince block on Reggie Miller. I mean, that's an all-timer.
That might be his statue. If they go on to win this title, that might be Giannis's statue, is that block. just unbelievable. And I just don't know why we didn't get like a billion replays of that on the broadcast.
Because
like,
he's not kinda LeBron, drove me that's why.
It drove me crazy, man.
I think part of it was just that the play kept moving. Like, the pace of play was pretty breakneck there for the last couple of minutes. So they didn't get a chance. They probably should have played it a couple times before they went to commercial. It also would have been great if they just didn't go to commercial right before the game was about to end. But that's how TV works. We know that. I think SportsCenter, I don't know what's happening on SportsCenter right now, but I assume they're playing that on a loop over and over and over again.
It's got to be. So Chris Middleton was incredible tonight. 40 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, and just about as automatic as it gets in the mid-range. He had it going tonight, and down the stretch, there was just not a lot that the Suns could do. When Giannis sets that screen, Middleton is going to get wherever he wants, and that mid-range jumper was just falling for him tonight.
It's so crazy that we're talking about him instead of Devin Booker, because that whole game felt like it was an all-time Devin Booker performance. But Middleton, what was so crazy about those pick and rolls he was running with Giannis was that the last few where he scored on them, although I think he might have missed one right in the last minute, but Giannis wasn't even rolling. Giannis was just setting the screen and then just standing there, just watching Middleton do his thing. And Middleton was just really, he really just had that rhythm going on his pull-up 18 footer. I don't know how he shot 15 for 33. I don't remember seeing him miss 18 shots in this game, but I guess he did apparently. But he had a really nice run when they were trying to chip away in the middle of the second half, where he just kept launching threes, like kind of low trajectory threes. I guess Booker was kind of doing that too. They both were kind of shooting flat balls tonight, but they were just smacking into the back of the rim and going down every single time. That's when you know a guy's really, really in his rhythm, when you just see that ball hitting the back rim and just going straight down. Middleton just had, he just had that feel. You could just see it. He had that feel in this game, and he just had so many incredible drives to the rim as well.
He did. He deserves a ton of credit. Somebody else, Drew Holiday, I thought his defense was outstanding tonight. The switching there at the end, they really were trying to get Bobby Portis onto Booker toward the end of the game, which is the right move, and Booker just missed some crucial shots down the end of that game. But Drew's defense was great. His The pressure that he put on the rim was outstanding. I thought some of his passes were great. I thought that even though he didn't have a great night scoring, I thought he was awesome. Pat Connaughton played a crucial role. He played 32 minutes tonight. Our buddy Dave DeFore said this is a Pat Connaughton series, and we saw that tonight. he hit some big-time shots.
Is Pat Connaughton Dave's new Danny Green? I feel like he's Danny Green 2.0.
If they win the title, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with Drew. Drew went 4 for 20 from the field, but I thought had an unreal game, like an absolutely incredible game. His deep, he completely wiped Chris Paul out of the game completely. CP3 went 5 for 13. He had 5 turnovers. Kevin Pelton from ESPN had that great stat about how he's had 5 turnovers in 3 straight games, first time in like 9 years that he's done that in the playoffs. And that's coming off of a series where he was playing at an MVP level. But Drew was just overwhelmingly physical without fouling. He only had 1 foul, even though he was spending almost the entire game guarding Devin Booker or Chris Paul. How on earth is that possible? I have no idea.
That is a stat right there.
And Chris Middleton only had 1 foul as well. And Chris Middleton was guarding Book a ton of the time. And that was the funny thing is I thought their defense on Booker was great.
It was.
The shots that he was hitting were insane. The shot that he hit over Pat Connaughton, I think in the third quarter, where he had him on the low block, he does like a jump hop like 10 feet away and fades and hangs. Connaughton somehow follows him, gets the hand over the ball, and Booker just keeps hanging in the air until he's about to hit the ground and then takes the shot. It's like a fadeaway 19-footer at this point, still buries it. He had so many of those, even though he actually he couldn't hit anything at the end of the game. Booker did have that one drive where he's driving full speed and then stops and goes straight up. I have no idea how he could stop that hard when he was in like a dead sprint, basically. But he stops, goes straight up, and he hits like an 8-foot fully extended jump shot. I mean, the stuff he was doing in this game was, dare I say, Kobe-esque.
Yeah, I think that he would like for you to say that as well. And it was. he was great. And the storyline from this game is going to be about the fouls, right? And that he basically was going to have to commit a crime in order to get the 6th foul committed. Because he did. He fouled Drew Holiday really badly. The broadcasters are going nuts about it. And yeah, it's, you know, whatever. It's fine. I hate that that's going to be the storyline because the shot making from him was unbelievable. I think the Bucks, like you said, they defended him really well. He had multiple defenders. He had Brook Lopez up in his face. 7-footer. Didn't matter. He was making everything, all kinds of different counters all throughout the night. He was absolutely incredible. And the foul trouble really was a shame because I do think there were some bad calls. There were some strange calls on him, especially when P.J. Tucker was involved. But
well, the 5th foul was P.J. Tucker running baseline to go for a rebound, and Booker just shoved him out of bounds. I mean, it was a pretty obvious call. But listen, the reason why the non-foul call, the block, as it'll be known in folklore, is a story is because it was so ridiculous. It was like comical. He has Drew Holiday ahead of him on the break. You see him with his left with his right hand. He reaches out and grabs Drew Holiday in the open floor right in front of the ref. And then it looked like he was intentionally fouling him. I mean, he literally wrapped Drew Holiday with his right arm and then rakes him over with his left arm. And I do understand maybe the call was a block because he did initially block the shot, but then like his entire essence and soul completely wrapped over Drew Holiday's arm and shoulder. It looked like an intentional foul in midair. That's what it really genuinely looked like, an intentional foul. And that not being called was just so, it wasn't even like annoying or frustrating. It was just comically hilarious.
Yeah, it was wild. It was the only time where there was a foul that Booker committed and you could actually see it on his face that he actually did it. The rest of the night, like any foul that he had, there was no way that he thought that he committed that foul. he had the foul face on after that one.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is another storyline, right?
Like, how did that happen? Yeah.
I mean, Chris Paul falls down. What was there, like a minute left in the game? Turns the ball over. Like, gives the Bucks even more cushion in this, what ended up being a 6-point win for the Bucks. It looked, I hate to say this, but it just kind of looked all too familiar for Chris Paul. It's just kind of a shame because he's been so spectacular throughout these playoffs. You thought, it felt like this was kind of one of those like exercising the demons type of playoff runs for lots of different guys. And it just kind of looked like Chris Paul again in these big time moments. Hopefully they can come back in game five and look a little different, but it was just kind of a rough game for CP3.
I mean, he didn't have his pull-up game going. I mean, Drew was taking away most of his spots, so he couldn't get into that cross-back turnaround 18-footer, couldn't get to that right baseline fade that he likes. And then, I mean, to his credit, I think he was attacking at the end of the game. Giannis just had a perfect pick-and-roll coverage on him that just kind of smothered him at the rim. When Bobby Portis hit the huge block, was that on him? I can't remember. But I mean, they did a great job of just taking away his attack every single time.
That was on Cameron Payne.
Oh, that was on Cam Payne. Cam Johnson had a good game. Cam Payne did not have a good game, of course, because it's a campaign game. I mean, 9 points, 4 for 7, that's okay. But whatever. Point is, Chris Paul had that moment when he made that crossover that he slipped on. I think that was turning into something nice. That could have been the time he got the bucket. Things start up again. He rallies and he just got him and Cam Johnson slipped and almost sprained his ankle. There's a couple really dangerous slips for Phoenix there. So hope the Bucks Bucks can dry off their court a little bit. But that's kind of what this game was. This game was just, it slipped away a little bit for Phoenix a couple times. But I think the bottom line from this game is that this is a dead even series.
That's all we could ask for, Jared. 2-2, heading back to Phoenix. Incredible stuff. Cannot wait to see what happens in Game 5. Be sure to follow Jared on Twitter at JaredWeissNBA. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew K. Schlecht. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check out all the other podcasts on our podcast network, The Athletic NBA Show, No Dunks. Listen to me on my Thunder show, Down to Dunk. And lots of other great, great local shows. Now, Jared, hit us with that sign off.
Ding dong.
Giannis, this was the second game in a row you went out early in the first quarter. I'm just curious what was going on there.
I wanted to, what the hell you guys say politely? I wanted to take a tinkle. A tinkle? Yeah. I wanted to take a tinkle. It came back. Yeah. That's it. That's polite, right? Yeah. Tinkle is polite, yeah. Both games. I want to take a tinkle to win back.